Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews on the vegan evolution revolution, the new paradigm of restoring to this world, to societies, sanity, sustainability, health, egalitarianism, freedom, and peace. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Tuesday Gotti in Northern Ireland. Tuesday is a anti-speciesist activist, a humanitarian. Thank you very much, Tuesday, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Hi, Marlene. Thank you so much once again for having me. And thank you to everyone who's listening to the show and listening to my little input and to listening to my insight into the world of veganism and what's happening.
Well, there's a lot we're going to cover, especially talking about liberation and freedom for all. Like to start out with a light note talking about vegan food. I would just love to hear some veganized, delicious Irish dishes.
Okay, I am as passionate about food as I am about animal rights. I am currently cooking at the moment. Tonight's dinner, it's not Irish, it is literally just tofu noodles and all of the veg with a lovely lemongrass sauce. But usually I would cook, I would do like homemade Irish stews. I would use brown lentils in place of like a minced meat. Or you can use like a mock meat. I just prefer the lentils. It's more whole foods. It's less processed. It's also cheaper and it's more nutritious. But if I'm feeding people who want a direct replica, I would use like a soy protein. You would also make your homemade dumplings, which is an Irish bread. It's very, very stodgy, very heavy, and you need a good sleep after it because it really fills you up. We would have those with like a thick gravy, and not an American gravy because I think your gravy is white. From what I've seen my friends posting, ours is a thick brown gravy, which replicates like a meat dish. So we would have that. We would do like a lot of like shepherd's pie or cottage pie. And it's not Irish to put cheese on top of it, but we would add cheese or nooch. But it's basically like a lamb replica, with potatoes on top. And you would mash them up and then grill them. And again, a lot of onions and a lot of gravy. So it's traditionally food that you can do in one pot. Think cheap, wholesome and nutritious and very warming. Because obviously Northern Ireland is a very cold country. And people for most of their lives didn't have the money to be doing big elaborate five course dishes, so it was food that could be done in one pot over the fire, and we've kind of just carried on from that. Obviously now, yes, we do still make like homemade pizzas and we have like a lot of Italian food and stuff, but yeah, we do a lot of basic potatoes and mince and onions.
Yeah, that's great to hear, right? Knowing that everything can be veganized is just as delicious. And I saw your recent post about the caramelized onion sausages and cabbage and broccoli.
The cabbage. Yeah, we use a lot of cabbage. We would start off by boiling it. We just boil it or steam it, and then you put it into the pan and you can fry it up, and that would be served with broccoli, like you said, the caramelized onions. They are processed, but they're not too bad, and they are a tasty treat. We would do that. And again, you would serve like sliced fried potatoes on the side, or champ. Champ is a really, really popular one over here. So it's your mashed potatoes laden with cream, butter, milk, salt and pepper, and scallions, the little green onions. So we would chop those and put it in. Champ is a really popular one here.
What do you use for the cream?
For the cream, we would just buy a direct. You would just go to your supermarket and buy a double cream. I think it's Emily? Or Elmi, it's called. It's a brand that has veganized a double cream, and it whips up just like the cruelty cream.
Vegan cream instead of the cruelty cream.
It's delicious.
And now I'd love to hear about the vegan cafes in Northern Ireland.
There's actually quite a few have opened up. There is your higher class one that you would put on like a nice dress, and it's got like a nice ambience. It's all candles and artwork. It's a little bit pricier. It's beautiful. It's called Jumon. It is delicious. It's so good. It's like a fusion. So you would get like a lot of like Thai, different types of Asian food, Korean and things like that. There's one on the Lisbon Road, which is a fast food place. So you kind of go in, you would sit down, eat and then leave quite quickly. My favourite one in the whole world, which is owned by two good friends of mine, one of whom is a direct activist. It's called Harry's Place, and it's in Ballinahinch. All of their staff, what they do, they are a charity, so they would support people with autism, learning difficulties and mental health, and it is just amazing. The food is top quality. It is so affordable. The place, you could just sit there all day, and quite often we do. They've got a beautiful kids' play area. They've got books. They do vinyl records. You can go in and swap. They do clothes swaps. The food itself, it's second to none. I mean, they're doing big, massive tar burgers loaded with hash browns, onion rings, triple cheese. You've got coleslaw, all the different sides. They've got homemade scones. They do Irish stew. They do like traditional Irish, like Sunday roast dinners. It's just incredible.
Very nice. Thank you. Next, I'd like to talk about your leadership role with your international Meet the Victims team in the liberation of Connor, the fortunate pig. Let's see. That's 3 years ago, January, this month, 3 years ago. Let's hear about that.
All of the activists from around the world that joined us in Northern Ireland on the 11th of January, all the memories popped up, and it was an emotional day. A lot of us shared phone calls, we shared photos, we discussed how he's doing. It was emotional. Connor is thriving. Connor has been free for 3 years now. He still lives in the same sanctuary, and as of last year, he's completely free from harm. He cannot be touched by any of the authorities. I don't know if some of you will know or remember, but DERA, that's one of the governing bodies for animal welfare and animal agriculture in Northern Ireland. They tried prosecuting me for his liberation about a year and a half after he was taken from the farm, but I won that case and it was thrown out. So Connor is now completely legally free. Yes, he's legally free. He cannot be touched by any authority, but the sanctuary that he's at, I wouldn't publicise where he is, just out of respect for the other non-human people that are there who could be at any risk or for any future work that the sanctuary do. But what I will say is that they are doing an amazing job looking after him. He still exhibits a lot of the behaviour that he had while he was confined in the farm, because he's a land race pig and they are extremely intelligent, and they need a lot of mental stimulation. They don't do well in close confinement. They don't do well with their natural behaviours being restricted, and unfortunately the trauma that he suffered when he was very young will stay with him. When he becomes frustrated, he will stand and rock back and forward. He will sway and he will headbang. Other than that, he's free from infection and disease. He's very, very well maintained with his health, and for the most part, his behaviour is that of an extremely happy pig. And he's very well loved by all the humans there that look after him, and he's got a lot of pig friends. I think there's maybe around 78 other pigs, and he's very, very well adored.
Thank you, Tuesday, and your team, the International Meet the Victims. I know that the desire for the vegan activists is for freedom for all, so it's quite a challenge, but that was a beautiful story. Can you relay that again, and how Connor was the one who was chosen?
Yeah, it was probably one of the most profound moments, in my opinion, in my experience of my activism. Because we obviously, as you know, we have gone public with a lot of our work. But prior to that, the liberations that we were involved in were not public, and it wasn't something we discussed with anybody, and it wasn't able to be shared publicly. But this was the first time, and it was the first action of its kind in Northern Ireland, and actually the first legal liberation in the history of Meet the Victims. So it was extremely profound. It was it was emotionally very overwhelming to know that people trusted in me as an activist to come over from around the world. The people trusted in each other to work together.
And can you relay that experience when you were in the facility and then how you called the police and how the police acted as a liaison so that you could liberate Connor?
So whenever we arrived in the farm, the plan was to document, to live stream and just wait and see whenever the farmers found us there and they would call the police. The conditions were so, so bad that I, as the organiser, made the decision. I spoke with the team and I made the ultimate decision that I would call the police myself. In Northern Ireland, the police are heavily targeted. It's not a safe environment for the police. And they believed that we were terrorists. They actually questioned if we were IRA, which is an Irish thing. They questioned if we were IRA. And I said, look, we're Meet the Victims. We're live on Facebook and Instagram. This is my name. You'll know who I am. Come to the farm. They were refusing. So I rang the vets. We rang multiple vets because the conditions were so horrific. Animals, they were cannibalizing each other. The place was just putrid, as you could see from all the footage. Everybody was refusing to come out. So I and a few others decided we would go out. I knew where the alarm systems were. We decided we would go and we would trip the alarms, which would flag the attention of the farmer. But as we were approaching the security hut, which was empty, apart from the cameras and the systems and things, a slaughter truck actually pulled in. They contacted the farmer, who contacted the police. And shortly after that, the police arrived. All of the police officers were so decent because they could see the situation and how awful it was. I took them down and I showed the police exactly why we were there and the conditions of the animals. There was one police officer who was crying. Another one was welling up and the rest of them were just horrified. And you can see in the video where one of the police officers said he respects what we were doing. They were so, so good with us. And then at the end, whenever it came to taking Connor, there were two police officers standing staring into the pen. They asked me which one we were going to take, and I said to the police officer he could pick, and he said that he liked the look of Connor and his face, and I said, what would you name him? And he kind of laughed, and he had said, oh, I can see what you're doing. You know, as if because I was obviously trying to humanise Connor, because obviously to get him to make the connection. So the police, yeah, they stood back and let us. I climbed in with two of my teammates and two stood on the outside and we helped Connor out to safety. And to see him being carried out and transported to safety was just unreal. I'm not even sure how to put it into words, just to know that he was free. To see the look in his eyes and then to go and meet him after that, to see him skipping around, like he was literally skipping around. He was putting his front feet, like he was jumping in the air. He was throwing his bum up in the air. His little tail, which had obviously been cut off when he was just a day or a few days old, so it wasn't the full length, but his little stub was twitching around. He was so happy. It was just beautiful, it really was. And to know that everybody still remembers him when we talk about him, because we talk, obviously our team would talk quite a lot. We talk frequently about actions and upcoming actions, but we would talk quite a lot about Connor and we would share photos of him and just to see how happy he is. It's just beautiful.
We're listening to Tuesday Gotti via Skype in Northern Ireland. Tuesday is an anti-speciesist activist, a humanitarian. She is an organizer for the Meet the Victims, that's M-E-A-T, Meet the Victims, Northern Ireland. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Tuesday Gotti. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. We're listening to the music of composer Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs. This is The Pig Song. Welcome back from the break, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're joined by anti-speciesist activist Tuesday Gotti in Northern Ireland. She is an organizer for Meet the Victims. It's taking a huge huge effort for a cultural change into a world of freedom and nonviolence, mm-hmm. which is veganism. And the actions are empathy and compassion and the golden rule, which you exemplify beautifully, Tuesday Gaudi. Thank you. It really takes a lot of courage. And again, I see that in you and your teammates also. So let's talk about the current situation coming up for you next month in February with the court case. And again, if you could give a little bit more background to Meet the Victims.
Okay. Meet the Victims was originally founded by one of my best friends, Leah Dollinger. We have chapters in various different countries around the world. We've got several in England. We've got Israel. We've got Canada. Like I said, there's various different chapters. And then obviously I'm the organizer for Northern Ireland.
Yes, and for those who don't know, Leah Dollinger is based in Australia.
And what we do, we are, our ethos is non-violence, even when we're met with violence, even whenever we're in the most horrific situations and we're faced with threats and we're being physically assaulted, we're non-violent. The whole principle, the whole point of what we're doing is to expose the conditions that these animals are being kept in. We try and get the public to see the truth about where their food is coming from. We try and get those in power to change laws so these animals are protected while we're fighting to get them freed. And we also liberate them. Some are liberated covertly before the action. Some are liberated by different teams. But ultimately, whenever we occupy those farms, we call it occupy, and whenever we go into the farms and we invite the press in and we try and get the liberations, ultimately what we're trying to do is get the public to see what's going on and get as many lives out of there as possible. That's the background for Meet the Victims. And like I said, obviously, Connor being liberated, that was the first Meet the Victims in Northern Ireland. The second official Meet the Victims in Northern Ireland was the one that I and 14 of, I think there's 13, 14 of us, are up in court for next month. And that was for a chicken shed in a place called Moira in Northern Ireland, which is about 10 minutes from my home. It was on the 2nd of July, 2021, when about 1 o'clock in the morning, myself and about 14 others entered a chicken shed, which was housing 26,000 broiler birds. And the broiler birds are obviously the Cornish crosses that are bred for meat, and they're destined to be slaughtered at 42 days old. Whenever we entered that shed, those birds were around maybe a week and a half away, maybe about a week away from being slaughtered. And we stayed in that shed for 13 hours. I think there was six police cars deployed, and then there was further police cars at the entrance to the property further on down the lane. There was a lot of police. It was a heavy police presence, especially considering that we were non-violent, and the only thing that we were asking was if we could liberate even the sick birds, and we could take them to the vet, get them treated, and then they would live out in one of the sanctuaries. That was one of our things that we wanted met. The other one was we wanted the press to come in so they could actually see the condition of the birds. I think that was our only demands that night. One of their coordinators came in and he actually said, look, what is it that you want? How many birds are you wanting to take? And I said, there's 30 sick ones over there. We definitely want to take those to my vet. I had my vet in agreement that he would treat the birds. I had a bird specialist with a van with bird appropriate travel, a travel license nearby ready to come and take them. And the farmer refused to allow us to take the birds. So those poor birds, they were culled, they were killed, and we weren't allowed to take any of them. So we decided we would leave voluntarily at the end, which we did. We all left, we got outside, and there was only one arrest that was made, and that was one of my teammates who chose to be arrested. They had asked us all for our details, and I said, look, I don't want any of my team giving their details. I will be responsible. You can take my details. You know who I am. They took my details and then they insisted on taking everyone else's. So I spoke with my legal team. A few others spoke with theirs and we were advised to give our details. One guy, one of my teammates, he refused. That was to cause a disruption because by doing that, it would get more press. It would get more press interest. And that's what we wanted. We wanted the press and the public to see what was going on with these animals. So he was arrested and then he was released a couple of hours later. And then obviously we're all in court next month. We're in on the 28th of February.
We're listening to Tuesday Gotti, an anti-speciesist activist in Northern Ireland. She is an organizer for Meet the Victims. Meet the Victims is an international organization. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Vegan Nation is a half-hour informational program reporting on vegan news locally, nationally, and internationally. The views and activities expressed by activists around the world may not be necessarily the views of Vegan Nation, and the views that I express personally may not necessarily be shared by Vegan Nation guests. At the start of this program, I mentioned that the Vegan Evolution Revolution is restoring sanity to this planet and peace. And as a World Peace Diet facilitator, I would just like to share that opinion that in deep veganism philosophy, when we witness the human atrocities that go on century after century, and even the current situation where multi-trillion dollar military budgets and continual wars and nuclear weapons that can blow up the planet over and over again, that's insanity. Multi-billionaire individuals and corporations ruling over the world. And as I see it, the missing piece as to why we aren't progressing as a humanity is the violence and the exploitation and the slavery to the other animals that's ignored by every facet of organization and groups in the mainstream culture. Many people who are involved in the animal exploitation industries, it's just been generation after generation. We've all just been indoctrinated into it, and they just think it's normal, natural, and necessary. And so this time of transition, with the help of everybody around the world, those businesses can transform, can change, so that people can still make a living, yet not be involved with animal exploitation, can transition into vegan businesses and vegan endeavors. I know that there's some in the animal welfare or plant-based communities that will not fully understand how courageous it is for the anti-speciesist activists to be actually putting themselves on the line, being on the front line, into agreeing to be arrested in order to help transform this violent, carnist paradigm of slavery into the new vegan paradigm of justice and peace and freedom.
Absolutely. With this form of activism, in my opinion and that of those of us who do it, and in the opinion of many others, this is necessary. We're not harming anybody. We're not harassing people. We're not violent. We are simply trying to show the truth to the public where their food comes from, to the lawmakers, to show them that just because something is legal does not mean that it's moral, and that by doing these sorts of protests, these sorts of occupations, these bringing the truth to light, this is how laws change, and it's necessary to a lot of people, including the plant-based community and including other vegans and other activists. We are militant, we are extreme, and it's too far. The way I see it is, how can we be militant, extreme, and going too far when all we are doing is walking in through open doors? They're not locked. We're walking in through open doors. We're standing with our hands in the earth and we're not violent. We are literally there to save lives. And we are always respectful of the landowner, the farmer. And you'll see in many of the videos where I'm very polite, I refer to them as sir, and I say, look, I know this is a shock to you. Just take a moment. We're not here to hurt you. Please call the police. We are literally just there to save lives. We do get a lot of backlash, mostly on social media, of course. People will say things like, should we not go and get a job? But we come from all walks of life. We have teachers, doctors, solicitors, people that work in shops, general, we have people from all walks of life. We get all sorts of comments, but to be honest, we don't care. when we signed up to do this, we knew what we were getting into. And for the vast majority of us, we won't stop until all cages are empty, because until all are free, none are free. And once you have been in these places and seen true horror and true suffering, you can't stop. You have to keep going until everybody is free.
We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
What I would really like, obviously, I think, which I always go back to, is I would like everybody to eat a plant-based diet. That's the very, very least that you can do. I would really, really implore everybody to become an activist, no matter what, whether you can only post online, whether you can only submit petitions, or you can do street outreach, or you can do direct action.
If anyone ever presented to you the ethics of animal rights, and you talked about the bacon that you like to eat or the steak that you like to eat, this is for you. And that's actually the flesh of someone who didn't want to die. Babies in most cases.
This is the vegan rapper in the USA named Entice, the lyrical vegan. This is her song that she released in 2022.
Didn't know she was pregnant before they made her leather. Didn't know she had to have kids to make the cheddar. Her son's a bill, he turns to beef. Her daughter's in the same servitude as she.
We'll just hear a little snippet of it, and then we'll hear more from anti-speciesist activist Tuesday Gotti in Northern Ireland. The name of the song is I Like Animal Abuse.
Animal abuse, I like it.
Doesn't really sound too good, does it? Every time you make an argument against veganism, against an animal rights activist, or if you know the truth and you're still not vegan, you're vouching for animal abuse each and every time.
Next month, I have been told, as you know, I got a suspended sentence there last year. 4 months suspended for 3 years. This time I've been told I will be going to prison for the year. I'll only do 6 months though, because it's Northern Ireland, but that'll be next month. So I really, really encourage other people just to take some sort of inspiration, not necessarily from me, but just from the work that we're doing, the lives that are being freed, and seeing what's happening, and just step up. These animals, the planet need us.
Thank you, Tuesday.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Marlene.
Thank you. And what contact information can you leave for our listeners?
Contact Meet the Victims. You literally just go on Instagram or Facebook and contact Meet the Victims. Just type that in. Or you can contact myself on my... You can't contact me via Instagram. I'm logged out of it at the moment for the activism. But you can contact me on Facebook via Tuesday Sophia Gotti.
Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Marlene, thank you.
Okay, so I guess that's it for now.
Okay, brilliant. I can go back to making dinner because I'm starving after walking the dog.
Speaking of walking your dog, Ben, yes, congratulations and thank you for adopting Ben from a shelter on Thursday, January 26th, 2023. Let's just hear a little bit about Ben.
Okay, so this Ben was very, very unexpected. I have been going up to a sanctuary / rescue for about 12 years, and my partner just came along just to see what it was all about and watch me basically muck out and get filthy. And he connected with this dog. This dog just looked up and their eyes locked, and that was it. And Ben is a lurcher. He is between 8 and 10 years old.
Yes, and he's a beautiful big boy.
Yes, he is a big boy. But you know what? He's very gentle. He doesn't jump on you, which is fine. I mean, if he did, I'm used to having pigs and chickens and all sorts.
Nice, thank you.
He slept in bed with us. My partner was at one side of the bed. I was at the other. Ben had his head across my knees, his feet across my partner's belly, and that was him stretched out snoring all night.
Much thanks to anti-speciesist activist Tuesday Gotti in Northern Ireland. And much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station, nor its management.
Bye, Marlene. Bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.